Welcome into episode 116 of the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee, as always, presented by FullPressCoverage.com. Head on over to the Full Press Coverage app and download that. You can also find us on Megaphone FM, Spotify, and anywhere else you find podcasts. Catch me on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. All right, got my man Marcus Fitzgerald back in the building. Haven't had my man on in a while out there in Vancouver, BC. What's up, bro? How you been?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on. And life is okay. We're 2 weeks out from Christmas, so life couldn't be better.
Yes, Christmas, it is that time of year. And for those of you that have listened to the show for a while and remember Marcus coming on, he's a Laker fan. So, of course, I had to have him on after their triumphant victory in the first annual, I guess this is going to be annual, it seems like it is, NBA Cup / in-season tournament. Why is the name so long? Why does it need two names?
Well, I mean, it doesn't need two names, but you know what's going to happen, because obviously they're going to run this back and do it again every year because the reviews have been rave, and rightfully so, because it's been fun and the courts have been colorful. And the interesting thing about the in-season tournament, Chris, is coming in, everybody said, okay, it's going to matter. It's going to take these regular season games and it's going to make them matter. And of course, we all thought, well, how in the hell is that going to happen? somehow they made it work. And not only did it seem like it was more important, but the players kind of felt it too. You had, I think it was the Boston Celtics go hack a shack with Andre Drummond to run up the point differential. Like, the players seemed to care, and no player seemed to care more than LeBron James. I think he really wanted that $500K. I think he went out of his way to say, no, we're going to win this $500,000. That's a seed investment somewhere for me. Okay. So we're going to make this happen. I'm sure they'll come up with a better name. I'm sure it's going to be presented by Verizon or some company like that. But
very soon, that's coming.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. although I will say too, on my show last week, we're kind of bantering about. We're like, okay, there has to be a better name than the NBA Cup. Who can we name this after? And you know, the easy pick would be, you know, like David Stern or something like that. But the one that we came up with was pretty funny. We should call it the James Harden Cup.
Oh, God.
It's in the regular season, and it's for money. It's for $500,000. And if there's one thing that James Harden truly cares about, it's money. So we should just name it the James Harden Cup for next year. What do you think about that?
Hey, you know, James Harden got to make it rain. So he definitely care about that money. So you know what, Marcus? I think I'm with that. I was going to say name it after LeBron, but James Harden is even more apropos. It's got to be, right? I mean, he's great in the regular season. And then when you get to the real postseason, then, you know, it's kind of something else. Tell me this. In terms of, now you talked about how LeBron seemed to be cared the most, I guess, you know. Now, as far as the money goes, LeBron is, you know, he's paid in full, so to speak. So the money, I don't think, I know he mentioned it jokingly, but I don't think the money was that big a deal to him. Now, maybe for some of his teammates that aren't paid nearly as well as him or AD or even Austin Reeves. But what does this do for LeBron's legacy, in your opinion? Because there are those, you know, now Twitter is a whole different world unto itself from the regular real world. But there are those on Twitter who are, I guess, playing this up as this being LeBron's fifth championship, like NBA championship, even though it's only the NBA Cup. But and oh, well, he's that much closer to Michael Jordan now. And then there are those on the opposite end as well. But how do you feel about this in terms of LeBron's legacy, what this does for him?
Well, I don't know that it changes his legacy. I think what it does, it's a reminder that even at his advanced age, and I feel funny saying that because I'm 37 myself, LeBron.
His advanced age.
Yeah. At his advanced age, he's 38 now. He's going to be 39 very soon.
Trust me, I know the feeling.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
there.
No, yeah, no, no, we all get there. I just think, obviously, this isn't a referendum really on his legacy. Those are just for people with jokes, and I have the jokes too, so I get it. I think for Bron, it's just a reminder that even at this stage in his career, he can still affect something. He's not playing 12 minutes a game on a contender and averaging 8 points and 3 rebounds and 2 assists. It's just another reminder that this guy is still playing at this level. And when he is really engaged and into it, and also when you look at this tournament, it's, you know, you have the the group play setting, and then you have single elimination after that. That is the perfect setup for a guy who's 38 years old. You don't have the same grind as the postseason. You don't have to win 16 games. You don't have to play, you know, Nikola Jokic potentially seven times. Do you know what I mean? It was almost perfectly catered to his mindset as an athlete. It's like, oh, okay, so I can win this, but also, it's only going to take about 7 wins to do it. Well, that's pretty good. I've won 16 games before. Right. I've had multiple postseasons where I've won 13, 14 games and fallen short. So you're telling me I only have to win 7 and it's single elimination. So it doesn't just come down to who wants it more. It's all about matchups. Hey, sign me up. If I'm LeBron James, that's my favorite event. So the fact that he played as well as he did and he has talked it up as well as he has, that can only bode well for the NBA in the future with this event. And I know that LeBron wants to own a team in Las Vegas and he had to play the ambassador there for a couple of days too. So that plays into it as well. Let's not forget about that. But the fact that he was so invested and so involved, and a lot of the players were, that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, LeBron is so strategic. You mentioned him wanting a team and wanting it to be in Vegas. Yes, he was, you know, basically the ambassador for this thing. And like everything, you know, say what we want about LeBron or whether you like him or don't like him. I mean, everything, like every move he makes for the most part, like there's something, there's intention behind it. You know what I mean? Like you mentioned that, like there's intention behind what he says. He's very calculated in how he in general of how he goes about things. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about the fact that at the age of what, I think he'll be 39 at the end of the month, right, LeBron? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He's still the most consistent player for the Lakers, and he's still leading the way when we all thought literally that he was going to hand the torch off to Anthony Davis a couple years ago, even at least after the they won that championship back in 2020 in the bubble. But how do you feel about him still being the lead dog there? And Anthony Davis having not fully stepped up yet because he plays well sometimes and other times it's like he just disappears.
Yeah, I'm fine with it in the sense that we know that LeBron is 38. We know that Father Time will get him eventually. We know that he has other interests. We know that he might go play somewhere else. So for as long as he's there, if he's the best player on the team, then cool. Now, if you want to turn this into an Anthony Davis referendum. And it was also kind of funny, too, because we talk about Bron, but this is also like the ultimate Anthony Davis thing where he's putting up a 40-20 in the tournament final. And he's flexing and screaming and being that guy. And he's very intense and he was very locked in. It's like, well, can we get that in the postseason? Can we get it in the conference finals?
Exactly.
Against
that's Denver? What everyone's asking. That's what everyone's asking.
But I think the die for Davis has been cast at this point. That's just the way it's going to be. There's going to be nights where he's that guy, and there's going to be nights where he's not engaged. I heard an anecdote on a podcast. I can't remember if it was Zach Lowe or McMenamin or one of these guys, but they just talked about Davis, and he's one of those guys apparently where he just shows up at 9 a.m. and he plays basketball, and then he goes home at 5. I don't know that he's I don't know that he necessarily wants all the extra attention that comes with being the star of an historic franchise. He's like you and I in that way, Chris. It's like, you know what? Yeah, we enjoy our jobs.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when 5 p.m. hits, like, yeah, it's time to go. I don't need to worry myself with some of this other stuff. At least I am. I don't know about you, but
yeah,
it just seems like Davis is that kind of guy. And the Lakers will have to ride with that. Now, as long as LeBron James is around and playing at that level, that's okay. They can sustain that. The questions and the worries and the concerns, that's all going to come when LeBron leaves, when they really do have to hand the keys to Anthony Davis. And then we'll really see what goes on after that. For right now, it's fine. But a couple of years from now, who knows?
But, I mean, is it impossible to be the man without all those other things? You know what I mean? Like, is it possible that he steps up and just takes the reins, but can still just kind of come in and do his thing and go live his life without having to worry about all the ancillary things that I guess a LeBron has to worry about? Is that possible?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, if I had to compare Anthony Davis historically to anyone, I think it would be like a David Robinson, You know what I mean? Where he just has this prodigious talent and he's more athletic and more skilled than just about everybody else on the floor. But there's just some nights with the guy where it's like, well, is he, you know, and I hate to bring up the talking point because we all do it, but it's like, well, is he a killer? Does he have the killer instinct? Was David Robinson that guy? Not necessarily, you know, God-given talents and a great body and, you know, an MVP and all that stuff. And he won championships later in his career, a couple of them, obviously. But
yeah,
at no point, even growing up in the 90s, did you think, okay, well, David Robinson's going to get it done. Like, well, no, not necessarily. He's going to put up really good numbers and he'll be first and second team all NBA. And that's great, but he's not going to be there at the end because Hakeem is going to get in the way or Shaq is in the way or whoever the case might be.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you compare, you know, Davis historically to somebody, the David Robinson thing would be apt. Now, that's still a fine career. Does it fulfill the expectations that we've had for Anthony Davis since he came out of Kentucky as a number one pick and dominated that national championship game with Kentucky with, I want to say that he only scored like 9 or 10 points in that game, but he had like, I don't know, 12 blocks and 15 rebounds. Yeah. Like he was just very different when he came out. He's a guy that we had never seen before. So we placed a lot of expectations on him.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's unfair. The level of expectations we put on guys, but I think the die has been cast with Davis. This is just what we're going to get. Sometimes we're going to get the disinterested version, and sometimes we'll get 40 and 20. But hopefully for the Lakers' sake, they get the 40 and 20 guy far more often in April, May, and June.
But isn't it – would it be fair to say that at least at some point, a lot of, you know, whether it's people in the industry or just fans, whatever, looked at LeBron and said – he doesn't have that killer instinct. I feel like that was the talk at one point. Now, it's probably been a while. But, I mean, do you think LeBron has exhibited just throughout his career having that killer instinct? Because we talk about it just now with Anthony Davis, I guess, not showing that. But do you feel like LeBron has really exhibited having that killer instinct, just that will to just put his foot on someone's neck when it's time and not let up?
Oh, yeah. No, he's done it before. He did it 2016 finals. So they're down 3-1 to Golden State. And game 7, that was his opus. Game 5 was terrific as well on the road. And Kyrie was great, too. But
yeah,
I think you go there. I think for 3 or 4 years there in Miami, he was the best player in the sport. And aside from the stumble in the finals the first year he got there, they won the next 2 years. I think LeBron has answered those questions. And for the people who still want to do that, it's like, okay, if you're looking for engagement and you want your breakout videos on Twitter to get numbers, that's cool. It's kind of like David Carr last week saying that Jalen Hurts can't read a defense and the Eagles should put Marcus Mariota in. It's like, okay, yeah, but we know why you said that. Some producer got in your ear and said, all right, we're going to need to spice things up a little bit. We're going to need we're going to need that Twitter breakout video to pop. I feel like the guys who do that with LeBron, and there's not many of them left. There isn't. Maybe Skip Bayless, but the guys who do that, we know why they're doing
now. That's a stick at this point.
We're sitting here saying that LeBron is very calculated with everything he says. Yes, true. But guess what? Some of the top guys in the media world, they're very calculated too.
Oh, of course.
It's all for fun. Does he have killer instinct? Yes, of course he does. He's got the 4 championships and all the MVPs and everything else. And now an NBA Cup to go with it. So of course he does.
The NBA Cup. I mean, for me, the celebration was a lot, but I mean, hey, go ahead and celebrate. I don't want to be the one to rain on the parade. Last question about the LeBron, the Lakers right now. Where's your confidence level moving forward for the rest of the season? Like, we're a great chance at bringing home another finals or even making it back to the Western Conference finals. Like, how do you feel about the team right now?
I do feel pretty good. I still don't think they match up well with Denver at all. And quite frankly, there aren't many teams in the NBA that match up with Denver. That's a different animal entirely. But as far as going deep into the playoffs and winning a couple of rounds and maybe threatening in a conference finals, yes, when it's all put together and they have Jared Vanderbilt back in their lineup and they have Rui Hachimura's size and they have miraculously Cam Reddish, someone clearly got in Cam Reddish's ear and said, hey, if you just play hard and play defense and hustle, someone is going to pay you, because that's a guy.
Yes.
He was a former lottery pick. He's bounced around. He went to the Knicks and he had like 35 straight DNP CDs. And even at the beginning of this Lakers season, you're like, okay, I know why he's here, because he's a clutch client. But why is he out there? What exactly does he do? Clearly somebody got to him and said, hey, you're not here to score. We've got enough guys. We've got at least three or four guys ahead of you to do that. We need you to hustle. We need you to use your length. We need you to guard the perimeter because that's what the NBA is. And he's been able to do that. He had an excellent game the other night in the tourney final against Indiana. So the Lakers have the size to bully teams. I think that's the way they need to play because LeBron is essentially a power forward now at this point. I know that his usage rate is still high and he still acts like the main facilitator, and he is, but he's also basically a power forward. And then you have Davis and Rui, and then you have Austin Reeves' creativity on the perimeter as well. I like this team. Are they a championship bunch? Can they beat Denver? Probably not, but it wouldn't be a surprise at all if they're deep into the second round or into the conference finals come May.
Okay. No, I definitely get that. I mean, you mentioned LeBron being a power forward now. I kind of just look at him as player because it's almost like he doesn't really have a position because he just does. He's always done so much now. He's not what he was, you know, even 3 years ago, right? I mean, but he's still, if he's not still a top five player in the league, I mean, he's right on the cusp right there because there's a lot of good young talent out there. I mean, we even got, you know, probably maybe the two or the three best players in the league right now, three of the four best are big men in Giannis, Nikola, and Joel Embiid. And then you still got Steph up there. So maybe LeBron's in there as well. But if he's not top, if you don't think he's top five for a lot of people, then he's close, right? LeBron is.
Oh, yeah. He's still, I would say that he's still probably top 10. Now we have to.
Oh, yeah. I would think, yeah. I would have to say top. I mean, after that performance in the tournament, yeah, he's top 10.
Yeah, we also have to clarify, too, what version of LeBron are we getting? Are we getting in-season tournament LeBron where he was clearly motivated? He clearly had an extra hop in his step. He scored 30 in three quarters against New Orleans, had that little heat check sequence there. He was hamming it up. He was playing to the crowd like it was just a tremendous LeBron performance. Now, we know that we're not getting that version of him every night anymore. It's not 2013. We're not.
No,
this isn't 2013 Miami Bron anymore. It's just not. No. So we have to figure out which version we're getting because there are other versions of Bron where we can see it like on the court. He's found a way because he's so damn smart. He's found a way to conserve every ounce of energy that he has. Or you know when he's taking a defensive possession off. You can see it. Like he's doing the chess thing in his mind. He just knows, okay, if I just save myself here, then I can give myself an extra burst down here on this possession. He's definitely the smartest player in the NBA. He has been for a long time. So he is still that. And with that, just with his mind, that still makes him top 10. Physically, does he have the same explosiveness? Very recently, yes, he has. Is that going to hold up late in the season when he gets those inevitable old man injuries? I don't know. You know, that's one of those questions. But that is a long-winded way to say he is still top 10. He is still top 10. It just, you know, what matters is what kind of guy are we getting? You get that guy, top 10 for sure. You get the coasting Bron, maybe still he's 12, 13 because he can still get 26, 7, and 7 in his sleep.
Easy.
It just depends which version we're getting. And for the last 3 days, we got borderline apex Bron, which was good for the league.
Definitely. It definitely is. Let's stay in LA. I want to ask you about the Clippers. So James Harden, you mentioned James Harden a few minutes ago. You want to name the tournament after James Harden. I think I may draft an email, send it to Commissioner Silver, just to see what happens. You know, he probably won't answer it, but let's see what happens, right?
I never know. You never know.
How are you feeling about James Harden so far? I mean, they're right around now. They started off slow. I think they started off 0-5 with him in the lineup. They're back up around 500 now. How are you feeling about the Clippers and James Harden? Personally, I think their window was slammed shut even with him. But how are you looking at their window? Do you think it's still open? Do you think he reopened it for them?
I don't think he did. I feel with what the Clippers did with this trade is they doubled down on playing 2016 basketball, where if we just take our five best athletes and put them on the court, we'll figure it out. We'll ask our guys to rebound and defend and do all this. You just said it a few minutes ago. The best players in the league now are all bigs. The Clippers don't have enough size. Avika Zubac is a nice player. The Plumlee guy that they have. I can never remember if it's Mason or
it's one of them.
It's one of them. Again, nice player. But you're not gonna guard Jokic in a playoff series. You're not gonna guard an engaged, and that's the key, that engaged AD in a seven game playoff series. So do the Clippers have name talent that they can use to open up their new arena that Steve Ballmer's so excited about? Yes. Can James Harden still be an effective player at times? Yes. Is Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, are they both healthy right now? Yes, they are. And yet the Clippers are still kind of in the middle of the pack. They're mid, as the children say, right now. So I didn't agree with the trade when it happened. I feel like it was more of a box office. We're in LA, we're opening up a new building, let's just go get James Harden and cross our fingers. I feel like that's kind of the mindset the Clippers had with this deal. Now, again, they've turned it around a little bit after a rocky start, and it was going to take time because those are four guys in, and I forgot to mention Westbrook as well, Harden, Westbrook, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard, who all need the ball. Somebody has to go stand in the corner. So it was going to take some time. It has gotten a little bit better, but I do feel like they're playing in a time machine where it's 2023 and you need a dominant big, but they don't have that. They're trying to turn back the clock a little bit to 16 and 17. They're competing with a Warriors monolith that just doesn't seem to exist anymore. It just seems like they're a little bit behind the times. And they really kind of pushed themselves into that corner when they pushed all their chips in and made this Harden deal.
Yeah, that felt like I don't want to call it a desperate move, but that's kind of what it felt like. Like you said, it just feels like let's just put a bunch of stars together, throw them out there and see what happens. You mentioned they're turning back the clock to 2016. It's like they're doing that as the league is turning back the clock to an even older era where big men are dominating. You know what I mean? Like we're seeing more domination by big men, even though big men, I guess, is classified as a center technically. But I mean, if you're 6'11", you're a big man. I mean, come on, let's just be honest. Even though Giannis doesn't technically play center, he's a big man. Same with AD, doesn't want to play center. 6'10", 6'11", he's a big man. You know, we got all these, then you got obviously two MVPs and Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. They won them, back to back to back. So it just feels like the Clippers are putting something together there that I just don't see working. And when I say I don't see it working, I mean, Ballmer brought in these guys to win championships, not to just make the playoffs, right? Or get to the conference final, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, Steve Ballmer is very passionate. I mean, if he owned my team, I'd be pleased because he's going to invest everything he has to try to win. And he's building that new arena and he's very excited about that. So he seems like a guy you would want as your owner. He's going to bring in big stars. He's not going to, cheap out like some other owners in certain corners of professional sports. So he's definitely an owner you would want. Would you necessarily want him building your roster? Now, I don't know how meddlesome he is in terms of roster construction. Obviously, we know that there are some owners in sports who like to dabble in that. I can't say I know how much Steve Ballmer plays into that, but the guy understands star power and he understands, hey, in this market, we have to win. And if they have determined that that's the best way to go about it, trade for James Harden when they were effectively competing with nobody else in the deal, then fine. But then they have to lay in that bed if it doesn't work. And it's very possible that it will not work because, again, they lack the size. It's kind of like Golden State right now. It's like, Clay and Steph and Draymond are still there, but they're not big enough. They're just not. And we mentioned the Lakers just physical size that – does that make them more talented? Not necessarily, but it can certainly wear you down over a 6-7 game series. So I don't think the Clippers have that. And I think that's something they're going to have to address, even though I don't know that they have the assets to do it. So it looks good on a billboard, doesn't necessarily look good on the court.
Yeah, definitely. No, I could not agree with you more there on the Clippers. I don't see that working out the way Ballmer wants it to. Now, they'll probably make the playoffs. Whether they go in via the play-in or just make it directly in the top six, they'll probably make it in. If they're healthy, and you mentioned a couple minutes ago about Kawhi and PG being healthy right now, it's still December. We know how that kind of has gone with them the 4 years that they've been there. as the season goes along. Now, I'm not wishing it on them, but we've just seen it. One of them usually goes down. It did. So if you can keep those guys healthy, and I mean, you know, we talk about the load management all the time, especially with Kawhi and even PG to an extent with this team. But they almost need it, it feels like. Like they need to just take games off. It is almost like they need to take games off. I want to get you out of here on this one. I want to ask you about a couple of young teams, Orlando, Minnesota, and OKC. How surprised are you at how well these three teams are doing, and how far do you see any of them going as far as playoffs, things like that?
I suppose I'm most surprised with Orlando, even though
I think everyone
organizational,
is.
Yeah, even though their organizational philosophy clearly is, okay, everybody we have on the roster is going to be 6'11", and they're all going to be condors, and they can all shoot and handle the ball and play defense. I feel like with where the sport is going in the next 5 years, where everybody wants to have these 7-footers who can, you know, handle the ball and run the offense. Heck, Nikola Jokic brings the ball up the court all the time for the Nuggets. We talk about the Clippers being behind the curve. I feel like the Orlando Magic are ahead of that curve, or at least they have been the last couple of years in terms of building that roster. Like Paolo Banchero is 6'10", but he can do all those things. And you have Franz Wagner and all these guys who can just use their length and their height, and they create a lot of matchup problems for other teams because other teams just don't have that, because as other teams have spent the last 5-10 years, well, we just have to do what the Warriors do. We throw out all of our best 6'5"
exactly.
guys.
Exactly.
And now the Magic have kind of taken that to the next level. I am surprised at how quickly it's all seemed to have come together, because Paolo is only in year two and Franz Wagner is still a young guy as well. So I am surprised at how quickly that's come together. OKC, I'm not nearly as surprised, because you could kind of read the tea leaves last year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a star, but you know, I will say too, they probably need one more big. I'm not sure I trust Chet in a 7-game series yet to stay healthy and continually hit the boards and do all those things. I mean, there's been nights where it's, you know, it's late in the third quarter and Chad Holmgren's got 2 rebounds. It's like, well, he's the only big out on the floor. Who's going to rebound the basketball? I've got some concerns there. Although I knew they were going to be solid, of course. But, you know, if I had to rank them, I'd say I'm most surprised about Orlando. And then I would put OKC third. And I guess in the middle, who's that other? Minnesota, you wanted to?
Minnesota, yeah, T-Wolves. Well?
Yeah, Minnesota. And again, Minnesota, I think with them, it gets back to kind of the Lakers thing. And maybe I should have mentioned that when we're talking about the Lakers size. The T-Wolves have size. They have Gobert and Towns and Naz Reid. And they've got this McDaniels kid on the perimeter who can guard everybody. And then, of course, you know, we get to Anthony Edwards, who's becoming a star. And Mike Conley is the perfect veteran point guard in those situations where he doesn't necessarily need the ball and doesn't need to score 20 points a game, because there's other guys in the roster who can do it. So I'm most surprised about Orlando. Minnesota is going to be good. They're going to be there in the postseason, no doubt about that. And OKC, can't say I was surprised, because we all puffed our chests out and said it was coming. So that's how I'd rank the three.
Now, if you had to pick right now, get you out of here on this one, who goes further? Who goes the furthest? I mean, obviously only one of them is in the same conference, but who do you think goes further if you just had to pick now?
Well, at the risk of contradicting myself, I'm going to say that Minnesota goes the furthest, because we just talked about the game is played with size now. And I mean, everybody roasted the Gobert trade last year and said it was the worst trade.
That's true.
And now suddenly everything's fine, because Anthony Edwards is healthy and they figured out the pecking order offensively, and Karl Anthony Towns has realized that he doesn't necessarily need to be the man, although
he's not. I've been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah. There are going to be some nights where they're going to need to convince him that he is, just for the team's benefit. But if there's a team that goes the furthest just on size and bulk and defensive length alone, I would have to go with Minnesota. And also with the continued rise of Anthony Edwards, who's one of the most fun players to watch in the league today.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be too long before Anthony Edwards is in the talk for, you know, one of these big awards, MVP or definitely. I think at some point he'll be a scoring champion, because he can fill it up. Dude gets buckets.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely gets buckets. Marcus, my man, I appreciate you coming in as always. before we get you out of here, tell them where to find you, social media, and where to hear you on the radio and everything.
Oh, yeah. At Marcus Fitzy on Twitter or X, if whatever you prefer to call it. Basketball Central is the show. We're doing the show Wednesday night this week. I'm sure we'll recap the in-season tournament and go from there. So you can check us out there. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver.
There we go. Appreciate you as always, my man. All right, that's going to do it for episode 116 of the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee. Again, go check us out on fullpresscoverage.com. Download the Full Press Coverage app. Catch us also on Megaphone FM, Spotify, and anywhere else you find podcasts. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. I'll catch you real soon. Peace.